Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lozado explains that when we celebrate holidays in Judaism, we're not merely commemorating something which happened thousands of years ago. We're reliving it. We're relearning the lessons that it has to offer. And in addition, every single day on the Jewish calendar has spiritual potential built into it. And when we celebrate the different holidays, we are re-tapping into that spiritual potential. To give an example of this, we know that Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. And we often associate it with Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, which is all true. But there's another reason why it's the Day of Atonement. On that day, the Jews got a major atonement historically. It was the day that we got the atonement of the golden calf. Moses had gone up on Mount Sinai on Shavuos, 40 days and 40 nights he was up there. He came down with the first set of tablets, saw us worshiping the golden calf, and he destroyed the tablets. As a result of the golden calf, God told Moses he was going to destroy the Jews, and Moses went up on Mount Sinai for another 40 days and 40 nights to plead on our behalf, to be our defense counsel, convincing God to not destroy us. And he came down after that second set of 40 days and 40 nights and told us, guys, it was a close one, but God agreed to not destroy you. He then went up for a third set of 40 days and 40 nights. And this time he said to God, it's not enough that you're not destroying the Jews. Now the Jews need a second set of tablets. We destroyed the first ones by the golden calf. You got to give them another set of tablets. And God said, okay. And after this third set of 40 days and 40 nights, he came back down with the second set of tablets, signifying our complete atonement, God's forgiveness of what we had done wrong. If you take a look at the Jewish calendar, the first time Moses went up on Mount Sinai was on Shavuos. He was up there three times for 40 days each. What day is exactly 120 days after Shavuos? Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is when Moses came down with that second set of tablets, signifying our complete atonement. And that reveals to us that built into the day of Yom Kippur is the spiritual potential for atonement, for forgiveness, for teshuva. That's one of the reasons why Yom Kippur is such a powerful day for teshuva. And this is true with all the holidays. If we look at the theme of the holiday, we're then able to tap into what the spiritual potential of that time period on the Jewish calendar is. If we look at historical events which happened to us, if we could figure out the underlying theme or message of that historical event, we could then figure out the spiritual potential that time on the Jewish calendar has. So we think of Pesach as a time that we left Egypt, which is, of course, the main theme of Pesach, the main theme of Passover. It's a time of freedom. And maybe another day, I'll talk more about freedom and what freedom means, especially in 2024, when, thank God, none of us are slaves. But something else happened on Pesach. On a different holiday is Pesach related, and that is the holiday of Purim. The Jews fasted because of Haman's decree on the holiday of Pesach. It was shortly before Pesach when Haman made this decree to kill all the Jews. That decree was not going to take place for almost a full year down the road on the 13th of Nisan. We know the story how Mordechai went to Esther and said to Esther, you have to go to the king. Esther said to Mordechai, I'll go to King Ahasuerus and plead on the behalf of the Jews, but the Jews have to first institute a three-day fast. After they fast for 3 days, as a form of repentance, asking God for forgiveness, then I will go to King Ahasuerus and plead on behalf of the Jews. Mordechai agreed, and they had the fast, and at the end of the fast, the three-day fast, that's when Esther went to King Ahasuerus, and Haman ends up being, she asked Ahasuerus for the party, and the story of Purim continues. Those 3 days, says the Gemara, was on Pesach. Mordechai said, okay, we're going to fast on Pesach in order to annul this decree of Haman. There was a rabbi whose name was Rabbi Eliyahu Dushnitzer. He was first a rabbi in Europe, and then he moved to Israel. He became a rabbi in Petach Tikva in Israel. And the Shabbos before Passover, before Pesach, when he gets up, and he says, why did Mordechai fast on Pesach? It is generally forbidden to fast on a Jewish holiday. Obviously, unless Yom Kippur, where the whole holiday is about fasting. But on a regular holiday, on Sukkot, on Pesach, on Shavuos, on Shabbos even, we're not allowed to fast, unless there's a severe danger going on. So definitely, Haman's decree made it okay for the Jews to fast on Pesach instead of celebrating Pesach as part of their repentance, their tshuva process. But says Rabbi Dishnisser, there was a whole year. The decree wasn't supposed to happen until Adar, almost a year later. So how come, even though if something was immediate, of course, Mordechai could have said we're going to fast on Pesach, but there was plenty of time to fast down the road. How come Mordechai said, nope, we're fasting today. We're not going to wait till after Pesach to have our fast to ask God to forgive us. We're doing it today. Why not wait? Celebrate Pesach properly. Have a proper Pesach. Pesach is over. Then we could institute a sort of ad hoc Yom Kippur, 3 days of repentance, of fasting, of tshuva, asking God to forgive us. Why do it on Pesach itself? And Rabbi Dishnitzer quotes a rabbi who was a generation before him named Rabbi Elia Gutmacher, who said, you know why Mordechai said we're going to fast on Pesach? Because the night of Pesach is so powerful that if we're sincere in our prayers, we're sincere in our tshuva, in our repentance, God is going to answer us. That's how powerful the night of Pesach is, that instead of waiting till after Pesach to fast after Pesach, we're going to have these fasts on, we're going to fast on Pesach, we're going to have these days of repentance on Pesach itself. Something we have to realize is the Seder night, the gates of heaven are open. One of the Garabs said that there was, he told some Hasidim of his, that we talk about the Seder night being a night where the children ask their father questions. He said, it's a night for you to ask your father in heaven questions. Don't just think about it as the little children asking their father questions at the Seder table. Think of it as us asking our Heavenly Father for questions of why is this person sick? Why does that person not yet have found their shidduch? Why is this family in financial constraints? It's a very holy time, a time of really close connection to Hashem. And we only get it, and we are lucky to get this level of closeness to God 2 nights a year, at least here in America, 2 nights a year in Israel, it's only 1 night. So as part of our preparation for the Seder, for Pesach, let's think about things that we want to talk to Hashem about, talk to God about, whether it's going to be in the service before the Seder in Maariv, in the evening service, whether it's going to be during the Seder itself. We're talking about different themes, different things about the Seder. Let's have in mind, first of all, that feel that connection. Get ready to feel that closeness, that connection, that union with Hashem, with God. And also, there's a lot of things that we need, either personally and even more so nationally, that our Jewish people need. It's a unique time. Let's make sure to take advantage of the Seder night.